Praise the Lord. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus. Help me to be able to record this message and help the listener to understand it and believe it and use it to the glory of the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to talk on the foundation of marriage relationship. Starting from the preamble that I have mentioned before, I want you brethren to know that don't take this marriage relationship lightly. I say again, don't take this marriage relationship lightly, because we are in a warfare. Remember, we all wanted to go in the rapture. We talk about the end time message that the Lord is coming soon, and we are going to come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. But I want you to know that we have an enemy that is resisting that. He does not want anybody to come to that fullness of the stature of Christ. So the devil does not play fair. He's going to fight with all the tools and ammunitions he has. And when we say we want to come to the fullness of the stature of Christ, the fullness of obedience to the word of God, fullness of yieldedness to the Holy Spirit. So whatever way the devil will try to fight, we try to make sure that we saints of God do not yield to the word of God by firing every arrow he can think of. Arrows of anger, arrows of strife, trying to break up families, trying to cause disunity among brethren, or disunity in individual family household. Those are all the tools of the devil that he will use to resist the saints of God also. So once we know that we are not fighting flesh and blood, we are fighting powers, principalities and powers, and spiritual wickedness in high places, then we have to be careful how we deal with this issue of relationship, even between husband and wife, relationship between spouses, because the devil knows that is the easiest place where he came against Adam and Eve, was in bringing the two to collide with one another. Before God created Eve, when Adam was there alone, we do not know how long Adam was there before God decided that it was not good for the man to be alone. But there was no record that the devil was able to have any way through Adam to make Adam offend, or to even make Adam think of offending God. However, when the Lord brought Eve so that they become two in that garden, the devil has some more weapons to use now. He can now make the two heads collide, whatever way, bringing this doubt and unbelief through one party, so that whatever arrow the devil has, he will still use it against even the saints at the same time. So that's what I want you to know. Take note of this seriously and say, we are not to take this marriage relationship very lightly at all, because the devil knows that is one of the ways he could disrupt the smooth growth of the saints of the Most High God by causing confusion, disunity, disagreement in the household. And like the word of God said, a house divided will not stand. So we need that strong unity in the household. And that is why we want to take it very seriously and not lightly, as far as relationship between husband and wife is concerned, and the children also. Because there will be a lot of heartache and agony if there is confrontation and argument and fight and strife in the household that do not allow peace and growth, spiritual growth of the faith. That is just what I want to know. Now, we're going to go to the Garden of Eden and see exactly what God ordained. What is the plan of God? What does God intended when he created Adam and Eve? And when we look at that, we have to now see that is the paradigm that Apostle Paul and Apostle Peter were giving to us in the book of, in the New Testament, that the paradigm between husband and wife, the relationship between husband and wife, is to be patterned after the relationship between the Christ and the church. And when we look at that, the relationship between Christ and the church, we will be able to see what are the things that we can pattern our life after, when we look at the relationship between Christ and the church. Now, the other thing we also want to know, take note of, God desires the old things. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. Because the fashion of the world changes continuously, God always preferred the old fashioned way. I remember when I was not married yet and I was counseling a lady, and when this lady realized how I stood upon the old fashioned method, she said, well, we shall see whom you are going to marry. And that is why I introduced my wife to the congregation to make them to see that, well, when I finally got married, there is a woman that was able to live with me comfortably, I hope, comfortably, and I praise the Lord for that. But this exhortation that I'm giving today does not mean that I have a perfect relationship. We are still working on it. And every one of us has to continually work on it, because there will always be, when two people are living together, there will always be a time for strife, disagreement, or opinions that are diverting from one another. And that is where you now have to bring the Word of God into view. What does the Word of God say when you have differences of opinion? When you have differences of opinion, what does the Word of God say? And that is the issue that we will have to emphasize and address. When God created this marriage relationship, He placed order in the household of God. If there will be no disagreement between husband and wife once in a while, perhaps there will be no need for all of those order. But God put that order there when He said, the head of Christ is God, the head of man is Christ, and the head of the woman is her husband, the man. God put that order there because there will be a time when there will be a disagreement. And when there is a disagreement, instead of everybody going their own ways, the Bible says, wives, submit to your own husband in all things. That is where the submission really begins to have to be applied. It is when there is disagreement or differences of opinion. But only those who want to obey the Bible, those who have accepted and surrendered to the will of God, we want to obey the scriptures. And that is what you have to think about. Are you surrendered to Christ? Are you ready to obey God? If you are ready to obey God, then you will be interested in looking at that scripture again and say, when the Bible says submit to your own husband, that is in the situation when there is differences of opinion. And it has to be according to the Word of God if you want the Lord to be in that relationship. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 15, here is what it says. That which has been is now, and that which is to be has already been, and God requires that which is past. The last section they said, God requires that which is past. That is, the fashions of this world changes over and over again. You can tell from the fashions of dressing or the fashions of lifestyle in this world. But God always requires the old-fashioned way. In fact, God says, stand in the way and see the old path, wherein there is the good way, and walk ye therein. Now, that is telling you the same way that when you look at the marriage relationship in the world today, you can say, our grandparents and our fathers, our forefathers in our previous generation, they do not have so much divorce going on like we have today. We had a little disagreement, they wanted to separate and cut the marriage cord. But God requires that which is part. God said, you hated divorce. It is for life when you get engaged to somebody. When you get married, it is for life. Now we have to remember that. And another thing that we need to also remember in this preamble is that we are fighting a warfare, and the devil is not playing fair, and he's going to fight against every household that he could fight against. That is why we have to guard ourselves utterly. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 to 12. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he has not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now that last part says a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And I'll tell you, the third cord is the Lord God Almighty Himself. God instituted the marriage relationship so that it will be the apex of a triangle. The husband will be on one side of that triangle, one corner of that triangle, and the wife will be on one corner of that triangle. And when you look at the drawing of a triangle, if we say God is the apex of that triangle, it is mandatory for both husband and wife to be moving closer to God. Your relationship with God is paramount. If you have a direct relationship with God where you are moving closer to God and your spouse is moving closer to God, as both of you are moving closer to God at that apex, you will see that you both of you also will be moving closer to one another. Just think of it of a diagram of a triangle. As one of the points move up to the apex, the other point move up to the apex, they are also moving closer to one another. And that is the way you can get your harmony in your household when both of you are seeking after the Lord. When both husband and wife are seeking after the Lord and pursuing after God, then they will also be moving closer to one another. Because what do we mean by pursuing after God and seeking after God? Wanting to please God. If you want to please God, then you want to please and obey His word. Not so. And His word is one of the things that said, obey. The Christ is the head of the man. The man wants to please Christ in all things. Then he's going to have to put in the fruits of the Holy Ghost that God says He looks for those fruits of the Spirit. And if the wife wants to also please God at all times, then she will be wanting to obey God. And when God said, submit to your own husband in everything, she will want to obey God and want to submit to her own husband in everything, instead of wanting her own way. Because when the wife says she wants her own way, she's not going to listen to what the husband wants or what the husband's idea is when there is difference of opinion, especially in the difference of method. It could be differences in how to manage your money. It could be differences in how to raise your children. It could be differences in how to discipline the child. Those are places where there might be differences of opinion. Instead of saying, I'll go my way, you go your way, which is what the beginning of breaking apart. And if they're not breaking apart, but they are also minding their own ways, they are spiritually divorced. Marriage is expected to be a three chord. We are joined together physically on the matrimonial bed, joined together spiritually, emotionally, which is the soul, and the spirit spiritually. We are expected to be joined as one. That is how God sees it. But when a husband and wife are deciding to go their own ways, when it comes to opinions, and the wife refused to submit, she has divorced spiritually. You have to remember that. If you say that which you want to do, that which is your own will, is what you are going to do, you are not going to yield when it comes to difference of opinion, then you have divorced spiritually. Because God sees this thing as one, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. So think about that. Because a lot of marriages are already divorced spiritually and they're just living together to cover face on the physical heart. But God looks at it as a single entity, both body, soul, and spirit. And we have to think of that when you are making up your mind that you are not going to yield to the word of God. And the same for the man, you want to obey God, you want to yield to the word of God, then the Bible said, love your wife. So that love must be coming from the agape love of the Holy Ghost. You will see that in some of the other series that we are discussing. Now, we also mentioned that in Adam and Eve, when God created, let's go to Genesis chapter 2, and lay the foundation, which is the paradigm that we really want to follow. Anyone that wants the Bible to guide his or her marriage relationship, look at that which Almighty God has started, and see what God intended it to be. In Genesis chapter 2, we see when God created Adam and Eve, and this is what it was, how it was written. Verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we are saying that God created man, and let's jump quickly to verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now, the first thing you want to take note of in this chapter is God created Adam and gave him an employment. So Adam was employed by God to dress the garden and to keep it. So you can say that was a mission for Adam. Every man that has come into this world is a missionary for God. Your mission may be an engineering mission or a carpentry mission or this mission, but every man has a mission in a way to dress the garden. What you see, you may say Adam was actually created just for dressing the garden like a farmer. What does that really mean? When the Lord Jesus Christ said something, he said this earth is the field that he was planting into in one of his parables when the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth. So the parable of Jesus Christ said the earth is the garden, is the field, and God put Adam and all his children of Adam here to dress the garden. So you think of it, everything we human beings are doing on this planet earth, all the professions that man has been preoccupied with has been to make this planet better for living. That is what it really means. Dress the plant, dress the garden. Adam was dressing the garden, even though all it looked like then was just plants and trees that God planted. But it's to make the garden habitable. Because the Bible said, God created this earth not in vain, it shall be inhabited. Now all the human beings that have been coming to the world have been doing laboring and professions still to make this earth comfortable and habitable. So they are still dressing the garden, so to speak. So that's what I want. That you are now a missionary. If you look at yourself like that, whatever is your job, you have a mission for God. Now let's see where God brought Eve in. Verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. Now remember, many people have removed some Bible, some word from that chapter, from that verse. And some people say it's not good for man to be alone. No, he said, it is not good for the man to be alone. Referring to this particular Adam. Which we can extrapolate that and means everybody. It's not good for loneliness. It's not really good. But it's not saying that it is wrong to be alone, to be like Lord Jesus Christ didn't marry before he was crucified. And Apostle Paul said many people can that are giving. Like Lord Jesus Christ said, those who are giving can keep themselves without getting married. But that is not the ideal. God said it's not good for the man to be alone because there will be loneliness that God knows that there will be loneliness. That's why Adam needed some comforter, some help, somebody to be with him emotionally. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. So now God brought Eve into the view. And you all know the whole story. You can read it, the rest of the story yourself. And Adam in verse 23 said, and this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Now, what I'm trying to point out in this chapter is God created Adam and gave him a mission to dress the garden. Now, God realized that Adam will need some help. Now, take note of this. God is not saying that, oh, this garden is too large for Adam to take to take care of it all alone by himself. So I need to make somebody that will share the labor. That is not sharing of the labor that God was talking about when he said, he helped meet for him. It is not good for Adam to be alone. God is not talking about Adam couldn't do the garden all by himself. It's not the laboring that he needed help with, but the loneliness is what God is talking about here. It's not good for the man to be alone. Which in some of my sermons I pointed out to the fact that the labor that God gave to Adam, God has already built in Adam enough strength to be able to undo the labor. The labor of dressing the garden, Adam was equipped for that. If God was trying to divide that garden into two so that Adam will do only half and the partner will do only half, God would have created another man to be a partner there in that garden. But that was not what God intended when he created Eve. So then you can then extrapolate that to our time and say, God is not saying the husband should be providing half of the finance for the house and the wife should go and provide half of the finance for the house. No, if that is how you are raising your own family, that is not the idea God had in mind. The woman was given to Adam to be an help for him in this labor that he is doing. Whatever way we can say, well, as my help, if you can provide half of the money that we need, if that is how you structure your own house, it may be okay. However, the help that Adam really needed is the comforting, the emotional help, somebody to nurse Adam, somebody to minister to Adam, minister to his Adam physically. That is the need, that is the help that Adam really is looking for, that Adam really needs, and that's the help that every man really needed. Not to go and do half of the job and bring half of the money that you use to pay your rent. That is laboring. So that would have been like Adam dividing the garden into two and having the wife to do half and he do half. That is not what God intended. So you can begin to think of that and say, gee, which means then, if I have to compel my wife to go and work and bring half of the money that we need to feed ourselves, we are not doing it in line with what God intended. That does not say a woman should not work. I'm not saying a woman should not work. No. A woman can work, but let it be as you desire it, that she is ministering to you, not laboring just to provide for the money. The man is to provide for his own household, and the woman is to help the man whatever way. So whatever way you want that help to be structured, you can do it your own way. But however, look at what Adam created. This is the paradigm. This is the ideal. Adam was given the mission to take care of the garden. The woman, Eve, was given to Adam to minister to Adam, comforting her, emotional comfort, nursing, ministering to her. And God also has already ordained that they will reproduce. That's why the structure of a woman's womb is already made to bear children. So that is part of what God has already designed them for. But you have to take note of that. Now I can go further in this and give you some more information. Let's go now and see the fact that is the paradise, the idea God created Adam and gave Adam a mission. And it is Adam's mission. The reason why I keep emphasizing this is this. When in the generation that we are in, you can see husband and wife quarreling and arguing on whose idea should be accepted. Who has the better idea in this issue? When we say differences of opinion, which I mentioned earlier on, what is difference of opinion? Take, for example, how to discipline your children. And there is a difference of opinion. The rules of opinion should we accept? If you can't agree and in one opinion, then submit to the man's opinion, because he is the mission holder. God gave the mission to Adam. So that is what I'm pointing to, the fact that Adam is the mission holder. God gave that mission to Adam and asked Eve to follow Adam to help him on the way. So it's Adam's ministry. Think of it this way. The Bible said, we are coming to that in a moment, Apostle Paul in his letter said, as the church is to Christ, so is the wife to their husband. Now, think of the kingdom of God that we are talking about. Whose kingdom is it? Is it kingdom of the church or kingdom of Christ? Who owns this planet? It's the Lord Jesus Christ's kingdom, friend. So everything has to be done according to his desire, according to his plan, according to his own terms. That is the kingdom of Christ. The church is glad to be part of him because we are his body. But there should be no disagreement or difference of opinion between we, the church, and Christ. If there is any difference of opinion, we submit to his opinion because he is the owner of everything. That is how God intended it to be, and that is what God designed. Christ is the owner of this planet. The church that Christ has selected to be his bride, we are glad to be part of him. But we can never have a difference of opinion. It has to be his opinion. If our own opinion or our own idea, we will have done it this way, differ from what he wants, we throw our own away and take what he wants. That is what God designed. And that is how it should be between husband and wife. That's why I'm insisting, I'm emphasizing this, that Adam was given the mission and he was given a wife, Eve, to help him on the way, help meet for him. So if they come to a crossroad and they have a difference of opinion, Eve or the wife should follow Adam. Instead of fighting it out and quarreling and going your own way and she going his own way, that is not what God intended. God said Adam was given the mission. The wife is to help him out. And when the suggestion is not in line with what Adam wanted, just take Adam's suggestion and come follow on. Because that is when God can then correct Adam if Adam is wrong. But a lot of people don't want God to correct Adam. They want to correct Adam. And that has been the confrontation that has been going on in the midst of husband and wife, why they are breaking apart in many of those differences. And why it looks as if submission looks like a curse word to many women. They look at it as if submission is a curse. It's not submission that we are talking about. Is when you have difference of opinion. And when will you have difference of opinion in ideologies, in methodologies, how do we have to do this? Or what we have to do? Those are all, there will be a play. Every woman being, even there are two men that are also working together as partners in a business, there will be a point when they have difference of opinion. And if they have to separate because of that, because of they have difference of opinion, they will have to separate in a partnership or in business. But because we cannot separate in this partnership, then God has laid the other down. He said, so wife should submit to the man. Because when we are thinking between Christ and the church, the man is to obey Christ. When we think we should have done differently. If you are doing it your own way, let's say you are a minister of the gospel, and you know what the Lord wills, and you want to do your own way, you know you are already violating the relation between Christ and the church. And that is one of the reasons why in the book of Revelation, the Lord was telling that church of Ephesus that they have lost, forgotten their first love. Your first love is to Christ. And when you have your own program, your own agenda that is now diverting away from the love for Christ and the ministration to Christ, then it was warning them in that church, first church age of the Ephesus, that they have lost their first love. So remember the same thing within the man and Christ. We are not to lose our first love, which is to minister to Christ first and foremost. Okay, let's go further again and talk about the paradigm that the Lord has laid down for the church. And it's this paradigm that we are going to use to build our relationship between husband and wife. Like I said, we are not fighting flesh and blood. And that is why we have to take this very seriously. Because we are fighting principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world. Most of those disobedience and rebellion and quarreling and fighting and confrontation, you may be traced back to demons that the devil is sending on errands. Those demons are on errands to cause disunity in households, and they are against every human being. Especially if they see saints of God that let down their bars of holiness and righteousness, they will attack also and bring disunity and bring disharmony and bring confrontation and bring all the quarreling and fighting. Why? Because some of the fruits of the spirit is not being manifested. That is when they have an open door, why the devils have an open door. Let's see that the fruits that we are, like I was saying, the relationship between husband and wife is just as the relationship you need to have in your office between men and co-workers. If you don't talk to one another gently in the office, you most likely will be fighting and quarreling. And somebody will have to be fired or laid off because they will say they are not easy to work with. So there's a respect, that mutual respect that people have as co-workers, whether the woman is whom you are working with or the man that you are working with, you have a mutual respect for them and they have mutual respect for you. And you don't talk down on them, neither do you yell at them because they make a mistake. Not so. So the same type of how to live with human beings and relate with people is the same principle you should be using when it comes to relating to your spouse at home. You can't raise up your voice just because the fellow raises up your voice, you're going to turn into argument and fighting. You don't do that in the office. Why will you be doing that in your own household? If the fellow raises up their voice, you raise up your voice back to shout them down? Most likely not. Because the other people are watching and listening also. So the relationship in the household should be around the same respect for one another. And those are the fruits also, when we come to the fruits of the Holy Spirit, that you need to manifest to make this thing work in your household. Now let's see in the book of Galatians, and let's go and read the paradigm that Apostle Paul laid down for the body of Christ. Galatians chapter 5. We talk to us about the fruits of the Spirit. And I said, these are the fruits that we need to manifest in our life, that we make our life, our living together with anybody to be harmonious, comfortable. Galatians chapter 5, from verse 22, he mentioned that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. What is temperance? Somebody say, I have hot temper. They are always angry easily. But you say, love must have temperance. You must not get angry easily. We can go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and see what Apostle Paul describes as love. He said, these are the fruit of the Spirit. And verse 24 said, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Because the Bible said that where does wrath come from? Where does strife come from? It comes from pride. And that what the Apostle Paul just said, provoking one another and envying one another is pride, is manifesting somewhere. When two people are quarreling and confronting one another, there's a pride somewhere. You may say it's the spouse, it's the husband, or it's the wife that is proud, but there's pride somewhere. When Christ says, submit to your husband, if you are not going to submit because you must win that argument, there's pride somewhere. When you are confronting, when you are discussing something and it turns to, I must win this argument, there's pride somewhere. And the Bible says, through pride cometh contentions. And Apostle Paul is telling us, let us not be desirous of vain glory. The one that wants to win the argument is desiring vain glory. And that's what caused provoking one another and envying one another. So let's think about these Bible verses. And these are the Bible verses you are going to use each time. Bring it back to your mind anytime the thoughts or the energy and the emotion is raging high. You want to bring the Bible verse to yourself and say, hey, let me not be desirous of vainglory. Why do I want to win this argument? Why can't I just crucify the flesh with its affections and the lusts? Think about that. Moreover, I will go again and talk about some of the things that we need to discuss when it comes to marriage. We talk about there are things that must be discussed. Understanding each other is very important in marriage. Compatibility needs to be discussed because it has compatible issues. Somebody say, well, is it? You talk about compatibility when you are planning to get married. Even when you are married, that compatibility issue will still come when it comes to how you use your money, how you spend your money, who is going to be, or let's say in when it comes to money, how do you want to save some money, do you don't want to save some money. All of those are compatibility issues because people are raised differently. And now that you have been married and you are joined together, you still have to discuss all of those compatibility and see how you can manage. You say, well, since we said wife should submit to the husband when it comes to all those differences of opinion, that will be the ideal. Now, if you discuss that, you see that this is how we need to be spending our money, for example, or this is how we shouldn't be spending the money, for example, there will be some wisdom that has to be communicated. And if you look as if it is the man that is wasteful because of the way he has been brought up, what do we then do? We let the woman just submit to the man and let him be wasteful? That is where you can give your suggestion, but pray for that man. If the man is the one that is doing the thing wrong because of the way he has been brought up. But if he has been brought up to just be spending and not accountable for how much he has left in his salary, then he needed prayer so that God can guide him. Because God does not want us to be foolish in the way we manage our resources. So instead of confrontation and fighting and quarreling, take it to the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, in prayer, and pray so that the Lord will take care of teaching your man how to do things right. Because when we say God sent somebody on a mission, if that man is even alone and is doing the mission wrongly and expecting the Lord to help him out, God will direct him right because God sent him on the errand. But if there are a confrontation and conflict, then there's confusion and God will not be able to step into that. So that's why I say what you need to do then is pray. If you think it's the man that is doing it wrong, instead of argument and confrontational. Now, other things that we will talk later is communication. Because I just mentioned, I said, instead of saying we are going to be confrontational, put it in the hand of the Lord and pray about it. Then when you are talking, talk in the tone that is not going to be confrontational. Because the Bible said there is one that speaketh like this piercing of the sword. Which means there are some times when the tongue can be too harsh. So you need to be able to learn how to communicate. So you need to talk about communication also. As well as we are going to talk about compatibility between husband and wife. Then also we have to talk about the really thing that should be making sense of God work, move in the right direction is the divine love. Divine love should be the center of everything a child of God does, because that is the commandment the Lord Jesus Christ gave to us. Now, that divine love, when we talk about it, people always think of it between brethren and brethren in the church. It should also be what should be ruling our life between husband and wife in the household. If that divine love can take root in the household, there will be no trouble and quarreling and fighting and confrontation and divorce that we still see in the world. So divine love, we need to talk about divine love. What is the true divine love? Not the love that many people talk about when they are getting married, which look like emotional, selfish, I can get this from this woman, I can get this from this man, kind of love. That is not the love that God talks about. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 describes the true divine love that should be ruling a Christian. And if he's ruling us as Christians, he should be ruling us between our husband and wife also, which is a selfless love. The love that God has for us. That is the type of love he wants us to have for one another. It's called agape love. We talk about that in another series. And we talk about understanding the difference between a male and a female. We are two different species when it comes to understanding how we are structured, how we think, our emotional stability, and many other things in our physical and psychological build. That alone is needed to be understood. Also understanding the background of your spouse, where he comes from, also is very important. It will help you to be able to see why sometimes your spouse behaves one way, so you know how to handle it. So understanding one another is very essential also in the household, between husband and wife. And also understanding the differences between the sexes, the opposite sex, the male and the female sex. Also, there have always been issues between husband and wife has been in the romance part of it, where they how many times they ought to be having sex, how many children they ought to raise, or family planning or no family planning, and those aspects of romance and the marriage bed has been another issue in the household of many people, and we need to talk about that in another series, in another sermon. So all of those things are what will be the tool to use to make the communication, to make the discussion of these things between husband and wife. Some of husband and wife need to talk about those issues one-on-one. But you need communication principles to be able to deal with that part of it. That is, you need a tool, and that tool you need is communication. So that you don't have to, when you are discussing topics like family planning, you don't turn it into a fighting or a verbal fight between one another. When you can communicate smoothly, without turning into argument, without turning into a verbal war, that is when you have a tool that you can use to make your marriage work. Because all these things we talk about, compatibility, how do you say we are not compatible and things like that people can say, it can be worked out if you have the tool of communication to talk about it and see where both of you diverse and see whether you cannot find a common ground. And if there's no common ground, then woman submit to the man's opinion. It's what God expects. If the man's opinion is wrong, woman pray to the Lord to turn the man around. And God knows how to do that. If this, you are talking to Christians right now, where the Lord himself is the head. Christians, born again people that are wanting to please, that's why I say in the first opening of this sermon, that it's like a triangle. For this thing to work, the husband is on one side of the triangle, the wife on the other side of the triangle, and the Lord God himself is at the apex of the triangle. If each husband and the wife are both pursuing the Lord, wanting to please the Lord, always moving in the direction of the Lord, then they will be moving closer to one another. as you move on the two sides of that triangle, your distance between one another will be moving closer and becoming shorter and shorter. That is how this thing can work. If God is taken out of the equation, you are on your own. Just forging it along, hopefully, maybe it will make it not work. You need God to be the center of all those things that you and your spouse are always wanting to please God, wanting to accept what God's verdict says. That this is how God intended it to be, and that is our goal and our ideal, and let us continue to pursue that ideal and not rebellious against the ideal. Not saying that is not my will. Not saying that's just your own interpretation of the ideal. The ideal is what we are describing here in this sermon. That God set Adam on a mission and make the woman to help Adam on the way. And whatever way you want to formulate that help, whatever way you think you have to divide that labor, it is still the ideal is that Adam is the one to bring to be the breadwinner of the household. The woman is to help him along in other way. But those are all the issues that causes confrontation in the household. And like I said, the third part of the romance part of it also has to be discussed. And I pray that the Lord Himself will give everyone that is listening wisdom and help concerning the fruits of the Holy Ghost so that they can really work on these particular fruits. And with the fruits of the Holy Ghost, you will be able to please the Lord and pursue after the Lord, and also be able to discuss without turning to argument, to have the communication without turning to argument. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ that you will let this word burn to the heart of those who are listening, so that they will be able to comprehend these things and listen to the rest of the sermons. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.